On this episode of the Grizz Podcast, we're going to get back to the subject of dealing with depression. And I want to help you understand some of the reasons why Christian dudes may be going through depression. My whole goal is to give you some perspective, some understanding, some guidance, some encouragement, and a little bit of laughter. You know what I'm saying? So here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw, it's gonna be real, and it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
Yo, thanks for tuning in and listening to the Grizz Podcast. Today is Thursday, January 18th, 2018. It is my wife's birthday, so happy birthday to my wife, Stephanie. And I am coming at you from my home in Huntingtown, Maryland. I am here with my fresh, hot cup of Starbucks coffee, baby. I just made some French press. I brought the whole French press up in this jank. You know what I'm saying? So I'm hyped up. I'm caffeined up. I got my old yellow lab here with me, Ruger. He's over laying on the bed beside me. So, dude, it's all good, dude. We are ready to podcast, okay? Oh, that is some good stuff right there, dude. Good stuff. This past weekend, I was teaching at a winter youth retreat up in New Hampshire at Monadnock Christian Ministries. And I just want to say thank you so much to all of you who were praying for me for that. God gave me the strength that I needed, the mental clarity that I needed each time that I got up to teach for the four sessions. So that was definitely a God thing because I haven't been feeling real good and a lot going on even mentally with me. And I received a lot of encouraging feedback from the students and the youth leaders at that winter retreat. So if you were praying for me, I really appreciate it. Thank you. And your prayers were answered. God really helped me. I know some students and adults were impacted, not so much by me, but by the words that I was speaking, God's words, God's truth, his encouragement, you know, all of that. This upcoming weekend, I am flying down to Atlanta and then driving out to Marietta, Georgia to speak at a church youth event on Saturday and Sunday for my good friend, John Shook. He is the youth and family pastor at Grace Church in Marietta. And then on Sunday evening, I will drive over to another church youth event in Warner Robins, Georgia, for my good friend Josh Ray. He is the high school pastor at Southside Baptist Church. And then I fly back home on Monday evening. So it's going to be another busy weekend of ministry for me. And definitely keep me in your prayers for this weekend. Dude, I need that. Nothing of eternal importance is ever accomplished apart from prayer. It really doesn't matter how gifted you are or educated you are. It really doesn't matter how good your content and your delivery are. Without prayer, it'll always be lacking. So please keep me in your prayers this weekend. I really appreciate it. So a few weeks ago, I began talking about dealing with depression. Winston Churchill calls it the black dog. I call it the funk. It's a mental, emotional, and spiritual funk when you're going through depression. You know what I'm saying? You're dealing with the funk. You got the funk hanging over you, in you. And in part one of this series of talks dealing with depression, I talked to you about the fact that depression among Christian men, even Christian leaders, is more prevalent than most people realize. I also told you that some of the greatest men who've ever walked this planet actually battled depression all throughout their lives. And I dropped a ton of big names on you, like Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah, King David, the Apostle Paul, Charles Spurgeon, Sir Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, even Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We talked about that. I shared all of that with you because I wanted you to know that if you're battling some sort of depression, if you're battling the funk, you're not alone. And you're even in great company with many great men, many great leaders. I also told you that I've battled depression over the last 15 years. Even this week, I dealt with it pretty severe, actually. I got home late Sunday night from being up in New Hampshire. And on Monday, man, I just felt like crap. I don't know any other better way to say it, man. I felt like crap physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And, you know, that's pretty typical for me after coming off of a busy ministry weekend where I taught four separate times and I listened and I talked with dozens of students and leaders about their problems and their issues. But it's also just been especially bad because of the chronic late-stage Lyme disease that I'm dealing with. I'm often in a lot of pain, or I'm feeling sick, or it can even cause anxiety and depression. So Monday was just one of those days. I think I was just getting hit from numerous things going on with me. And it's just how it is, man. And so, man, when I got home on Monday, I was feeling like that, I was just so angry with God. It was just one of those days. Like, sometimes when I get like that, I keep a good perspective. I got my head in the game like I should, and I just deal with it. I float with it. I accept it. I know it's going to pass. But Monday, I was just angry with God. I was pissed, man. And I grabbed my journal, and I just went off on God. And I'm just throwing all these questions at him, like, where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? Why don't you answer my prayers? Why do you sit passively by in your glory and do nothing as your servant suffers? And I'm trying to go out and help others, lead them to you. I mean, I was just going off. There was a lot of self-pity and woe is me, and I want life my way. I want you to do it. You know, just, and I'm so anti that. I don't want to be like that, but I'm just sharing it because I have my days where I do that. And Monday was one of those days. I did not help myself feel better by doing that. I actually made myself feel worse. And I'll talk about some of that later. How we often fuel our own depression or our own anxiety. So I just share all of that about myself because I always want to keep it raw, keep it real, like we talk about, and want you guys to know that I'm human and I deal with it too, man. People see me a lot of times teaching on stage, or they hear me on a podcast and I sound energetic or happy, and sometimes I'm being goofy and funny, and they might think, like, dude, Jay seems like he's got it all together, man. I mean, he seems like issue-free, pain-free. He seems happy all the time. And my response to that is, no, I'm not. Are you kidding? No, I'm not. Dude, I don't have it all together. I'm not issue-free. I'm not pain-free. I'm not happy all the time. I mean, a lot of people, they just have no idea what I was going through or feeling right before I took the stage to get up and teach, and how much I was praying and calling on God to help me, or having even some friends, some other leaders come and pray over me. That's what I was doing this past weekend at this winter youth retreat, and it helped. They have no idea what I feel like when I get... Oh, that's Ruger snoring. They have no idea what I feel like when I get off the stage a lot of times. God often gives me what I need in the moment that I need it. And that's really cool, but it's also really frustrating. Because I'm like, man, I felt really good when I was teaching. And then I go back to feeling like crap a lot of times. And it's just one of those things where God is like, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. And I'll give you the grace and the good feelings and the energy and everything you need when I say you need it, when I think you need it. So just being raw, man, being real, letting you know how it really goes for me, even with the podcasting thing. Many times right before I podcast, I'm going through it, man. I don't feel like doing it. I get done with the podcast and I'm not feeling it. So just reality, man, just how it is. So if you're dealing with depression, let me share some things that may be causing or contributing to it. Let me grab a sip of coffee. Oh, man, it's good. There are many different reasons why a Christian man can feel depressed. So I'm going to go through like 17, okay? I don't know if I have them in like the best order. Some of them go hand in hand together. Some of them kind of overlap, might be saying the same thing, sort of. You'll see. But here we go. Cause number one, why a Christian man could be feeling depressed. This is numero uno. Okay, this is so foundational right here. You need to understand this. Cause number one, why a Christian man may be feeling depressed: total depravity. Total depravity. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. Total depravity. This is the root cause of all other reasons, causes for depression. You see, what that means is we as human beings, all of us, are totally depraved. Because of what happened way back in Genesis 3, you remember, with Adam and Eve falling to the deception and the temptation of Satan. Dude, that has jacked up the whole human race. It caused every one of us to be born with a sinful nature or a sinful heart. You can see Romans 5:12, Jeremiah 17:9. Psalm 51:5, Ephesians 2:1, they all talk about this total depravity, this fall that goes back to Genesis 3, but this fall has impacted all of us. We now live, you've got to understand this, we now live in a broken, fallen world with broken, fallen people in broken, fallen bodies with broken, fallen minds. Sin and evil, sin or evil, has contaminated every aspect of our humanity, our heart, our mind, our personality, our emotions, our conscience, even our motives, our will. the world is jacked up. And humanity, us human beings, we are jacked up. And again, it all goes back to Genesis 3. This is why we so desperately need the salvation that Jesus Christ brings. A lot of Christian dudes expect life on earth to be Eden, really. They expect everything to be easy, problem-free, pain-free, comfortable all the time, happy all the time. And if that's you, dude, listen to me. You need to wake up, man. That is Eden. And we lost Eden. We lost the world as it was before the fall in Genesis 3. We lost that. As believers in Christ, we will have that again in heaven, but not in this life. So first and foremost, we really need to understand that when it comes to the causes or the reasons for depression, this is numero uno, total depravity. And all these other causes that I'm going to give you, listen, they find their root in this total depravity. Listen, guys, there would be no depression if there was no fall back in Genesis chapter 3. So you need to understand that. Foundational. Cause number two. Let me grab a little refill here from my French press of some hot black Starbucks coffee. Oh, talk to me. All right. Cause number two, here it is. This could be causing depression. Pent up anger, or you could call it bitterness. This can come from some sort of unresolved conflict with someone or from being hurt, wounded, taken advantage of, mistreated, etc., especially if it's from someone you love. A spirit of unforgiveness, it goes with this. This is the big reason why I believe Jesus tells us to forgive others. He knows that pent-up anger, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, dude, listen, it jacks us up big time. Cause number three, you have a wrong view of yourself. This can cause depression as well. A wrong view of yourself. This is where you don't see yourself the way that God sees you. You put yourself down. You beat yourself up with your own self-talk. Things like in your mind, I'm nothing. I'm such a failure. I'm a loser. I'm such an idiot. I'll never amount to anything. I'll never win. I'll never succeed. I'll never overcome that sin or that addiction. Dude, listen to me. When you're doing that, you're not seeing yourself the way that God sees you. You're not viewing yourself as what you now are in Him. You're not seeing what He's given you, and you're not seeing what you can be and what you can do in Him. Cause number four. You're not regularly connecting with your brothers from other mothers. You're not regularly connecting with your brothers from other mothers. Most Christian dudes, especially those in leadership, they're pretty lonely. And I've been there. Even though you might be going a million miles per hour with work and ministry stuff, you might have a ton of people around you. You're not regularly connecting with and enjoying fellowship with your brothers from other mothers. And dude, we as men, we crave connection with our bros. And we need connection with our bros. Too much isolation is harmful. Cause number five, lack of intimacy with God. you're taking no real and consistent time to draw close to God, to meet with Him. I'm talking about things like prayer, just reading your Bible, meditation, etc. Cause number 6, you're the OCD perfectionist type. If it's not perfect, if it's not the best, then you get depressed. You're the type that can't let it go when there's a mistake or an imperfection or a failure or a loss. It totally crushes you and it bums you out. And man, I'm all for striving to do things with excellence. I believe that we should strive to do things with excellence as followers of Christ. But dude, you got to realize you're human. You're not Jesus. And there's just so many times that you got to let it go, man. I deal with this too. With a lot of times with speaking, I see my imperfections. I see my mess ups, my stutter, my redundancy, or I forget things when I'm in the middle of speaking. Mind goes blank, or it doesn't sound right. I do it with podcasting. Man, I do it when I'm doing a paint job or something in somebody's home. You do it with excellence. You do it the best you can. But if they call back and they go, hey, you kind of missed a spot. Okay, I'll come back over. I'm not going to freak out about it. I'm not going to let it crush me. Got to get over it. Move on. Hey, I'm not perfect. I'm not the perfect painter. I'm not the perfect speaker. I'm not the perfect podcaster. I'm not the perfect husband. I'm not the perfect dad. I'm not. Cause number 7, false guilt. You feel guilty for something that's not really your fault. It's not really your fault. You're carrying a false guilt around. Or false guilt could be you're feeling guilty for something that God's already forgiven you of, and you've turned away from that sin. God's already forgiven you of that sin. You've turned away from that sin. You're not involved in that anymore. But the guilt, you are allowing it to still linger. That's a false guilt. It's where you still beat yourself up over it. Hang on a second. I'm going to have to let Ruger get out of here, because sometimes when he sleeps, he doesn't just do this snoring thing. He does this twitching thing. Like, I don't even know what's going on. He's dreaming or something. He's hyperventilating. My dog's got issues just like me. Okay. Anyway, let me let him out of here real quick. Hang on. Come on, Ruger. Let's go out. Come on. All right. I'm not going to edit that part out because it's an imperfection and I'm going to leave it in there. So what? So what? Anyway, false guilt. It could be, again, like I was saying, you feel guilty for something that's not your fault, or you feel guilty for something that God's already forgiven you of, and it's something that you're not involved in anymore, but the guilt is still lingering. So you beat yourself up over it. You are actually harboring unforgiveness towards yourself. Listen, if that's what you're doing, you need to understand that if God forgives you, 1 John 1:9, then forgive yourself. Who are you to not forgive yourself? Who are you to keep beating yourself up? You're not God. God forgives you. Forgive yourself. Every day, if you have to, remind yourself, God has forgiven and cleansed me of that sin by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I forgive myself. I let it go. I will learn from that sin, that failure, and I will become a better man because of that. Say it daily to yourself if you have to. That's what we call preaching the gospel to yourself. And I have to do it often. Cause number 8, true guilt. There's false guilt, but then there's true guilt. This is where you have a personal sin issue in your life that you're not dealing with. It could be something like gambling, pride, gluttony, cheating on finances, lust, looking at porn, sex with your girlfriend, etc., whatever. And your sin, your personal sin that you're not dealing with, it's haunting you. It's continually convicting you. You feel divided and you're depressed over it. And guess what? You should be. That's what is supposed to happen. Okay? Even King David dealt with this. Let me grab my Bible. Psalm chapter 32, verses 3 and 4. I want you to listen to what he says when he was dealing with sin, and he was harboring sin. He was not confessing it and forsaking it. Listen to how he says he felt. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4. For when I kept silent about what? His sin. He kept it secret, private. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand, talking about God, was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Sounds like a depression issue there, David. Like you're so depressed, it's messing with you physically. I've been there. Some of you know what it's like. So there's false guilt, but there could be true guilt. And it's just doing what it should be doing in our lives as believers. And the answer is to deal with your sin. Confess it. Forsake it. Get help if you need to. Accountability. Let someone else help bear that burden and carry it with you if it's some kind of addiction. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Cause number 9. PTSD. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I've got some friends who deal with this hardcore. It doesn't necessarily have to be from fighting in a war. It could be from abuse as a child that you went through, or from even a car accident. It could be from witnessing some sort of a horrible tragedy. I've got a friend who literally watched his own father being burned to death in their house, and he couldn't save his dad. He had to stand there and watch his own father scream as he was burned to death by a hot water heater that burst, pinned his dad to the wall, and burned his dad to death. Can you imagine? Some of my military friends, I know you guys deal with this, and just want to say, soon I'm going to have a brother on the podcast for an interview whose name is Gar. I know that's a cool name. He is a former Spec Ops brother, and he dealt hardcore with PTSD, and it was ruining him. It was destroying him. It was destroying his marriage. It was destroying him physically until God really got a hold of his life, until he really surrendered his life to God and let God come in and begin healing him. You're going to love his story. I promise I'm going to have him on here soon. We've already talked, and he agreed to come on the podcast. Cause number 10, there's way too much stress or anxiety in your life. Way too much stress or anxiety in your life. Listen, guys, there's always going to be some stress and anxiety, but you got to learn how to manage stress and anxiety. And you've got to make sure you're taking plenty of time after stressful, anxious times to decompress, chill, relax, meditate, recover. Meditation is something that's really I've been into lately, and it's helping me. I'll talk about that in another episode. I had to learn all of this the hard way with stress and anxiety because it was destroying me. And guess what? A little white pill, it didn't fix it. You know what I'm saying? It may have kind of coated and alleviated a little bit of the symptoms, but it didn't deal with the root. Cause number 11, and this kind of goes with number 10, the one I just said, you're not getting enough rest and sleep. You're not getting enough rest and sleep. In my opinion, if you're functioning off of less than 6 hours per night, all the time, day after day, week after week, it's going to catch up with you. And here's what a lot of guys do when they're doing that. They keep trying to caffeine up to cope with it. Man, listen, I promise you, it will catch up with you via sickness, chronic headaches, anxiety or panic issues, or depression. Brothers from other mothers, I speak from experience. Cause number 12, and this also kind of goes with number 10 about too much stress and anxiety in your life. Cause number 12, you're not enjoying enough of the good pleasures in life that God has given you to enjoy. You're not enjoying enough of the good pleasures in life that God has given you to enjoy. Now hang on a second, because I'm going to get a little refill of one of my good pleasures in life, and I'm going to enjoy it while I'm sitting here podcasting. Oh, thank you, Lord. God himself is supposed to be our primary joy, and all other joys or pleasures in this life should always be secondary to him. I get that, and you need to get that. But we also need to get, we need to realize that God has given us many things in this life to enjoy and to find pleasure in. Let me give you an example. For Christmas this year, like every year with our kids, my wife and I gave our kids a couple gifts to enjoy and to find pleasure in, okay? Noah got a new electric acoustic guitar. That was his big gift. And he got some clothes. Gabrielle, her big gift was she wanted a hoverboard, and she got some clothes. All the kids love clothes. And Autumn, my oldest, my 18-year-old, she got some jewelry. She got like this new blow dryer that she wanted. I got her a book that she wanted. We want, Stephanie and I, we want our three children to enjoy and find pleasure in those gifts that we give them. We want them to enjoy and love us as parents more than the actual material gifts we give them, but we gave them those gifts to bring them joy and pleasure. And we delight and we take joy and pleasure in seeing them enjoy and take pleasure in those gifts. And our Heavenly Father, he's the same way with us. Why don't you get that? James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Dude, God has given us so many good things to find joy and pleasure in. It could be things like good food and good drinks, hanging out with friends, family, laughing, hiking, biking, mountain biking, watching football, enjoying a good movie, enjoying a good book, watching or listening to a comedian, sex with our wives, going to the shooting range, listening to music. I know for me, I love music, and I've just, over the last year, gotten into vinyl records. One of the gifts my wife got me, I think it was for my birthday last year, was a really nice little stereo system with some cool speakers and a turntable. And I've got like 5 vinyl records now. My son and I are starting to collect them. And the other night I was just sitting downstairs, dude, and I put on some Creedence Clearwater Revival. And I was doing some light weight training downstairs, but I love listening to that little bit of a crackle from a vinyl record. I love the sound of it. It's a good pleasure. Some other pleasures, good pleasures, playing some cards or some board games with family or friends, hunting, fishing, or just being in the woods for a lot of us. I love watching wildlife. I mean, when I was younger, I loved hunting all the time, you know, and I really wanted to kill, you know, a duck or a goose or get myself a deer, and I got a deer, and then I was like, well, I got to get myself a nice buck, and then I got a nice buck, and then I got another nice buck, and then I got another nice buck, and I got all three of them hanging on the wall, and I'll be honest with you, like, I kind of got my fix. I'm not saying I won't go out hunting. I'm not saying I won't, you know, shoot another nice buck if the opportunity's there, but I've just changed where I'm like, I love just watching wildlife. For me to be in the woods, even all camoed up, I've been thinking about this, bringing my binoculars and bringing a really good camera with a zoom lens and capturing some pictures of some wildlife. Man, that's cool. I've got like bird feeders out on my deck, like two big ones, nice ones. I just recently bought them. And I put the little soot feeder thing in there too, and it's bizarre. I guess I'm turning into an old man. I just sit at the window sometimes. I'm like, cool, man, look at this cardinal coming in. Oh, man, look at that. That's a goldfinch. Oh, here comes a bluebird. Oh, no way. There's a woodpecker here. Guys, there's a woodpecker. And they're just like, Dad, stop it. You know, it's like just the good pleasures of life. That's my point. God should be our first primary joy and pleasure. But there's nothing wrong with enjoying the good pleasures as long as they don't, you know, come before God, because we can make things idols and we got to be careful of that. And we don't want to ignore and forget God. That's dangerous. That's stupid. That hurts us. But, man, so many guys think about these, as we're talking about the causes of depression, many times we're just so busy. We're so stressed. We got so much responsibility, so much ministry. We got to go reach the world for Jesus, right? Got to go disciple everybody. We got to go stop all the injustice in the world, all the poverty. Hey, man, we should be active in all of that. But I can't help but think, like, God sitting in heaven going, why aren't you enjoying some of the good gifts I've given you? That's why you're feeling the way you're feeling. Slow down. Enjoy. Now, for some of you, it's the complete opposite, right? You know, there's some guys, it's like, dude, you need to quit enjoying all the good pleasures, and you need to work. You need to get off your butt. You do need to start evangelizing. You need to be doing some ministry. You need to be trying to disciple others, impact the world. You need to step up, you know. So there's a balance there. But many times we can be feeling pretty depressed and down because we're not enjoying the good pleasures that God's given us. Pastors, they're notorious for this. I love pastors. You know, they got a heart for people. That's why they're in the ministry. They want to change the world, impact the world, see people, man, just find Jesus, get saved, grow, healing, all of that. But a lot of pastors, man, they don't take time to slow down and enjoy the good pleasures that God's given them. I've been there as well. Cause number 13, you've experienced some sort of personal loss, like the loss of a loved one, a spouse, maybe a parent, maybe a child. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe it's a loss of a job. Maybe it's a loss of a ministry position. You know, as guys, you know this. We find a lot of identity and self-worth, not always in who God says we are, but in what we do. And that's a good thing, but we got to be careful with that. What can happen is when there is a loss of a job, a career, a title, a ministry position, man, we tank out, dude. We just, depression. There could also be a loss, I don't know, like athletically or physically. Maybe you can't do something that you used to be able to do, and it's just affecting you negatively. Maybe there's a loss with some kind of physical function. I got a good friend. He's a pastor as well. Due to cancer, he has lost his ability to have sex with his wife. Dude, could you imagine? Like, you think like, really? Would that depress you? Yeah, he's really depressed about it. He's having a hard time with that one. I get it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just hits you like, dude, am I even a man? I can't have sex. I can't have sex with my wife. So he's working through it, and he's trying to get help with the doctors so he can get back where he wants to be. But just real stuff, man. Cause number 14 for depression. You have some sort of medical issue that could be causing you to feel down or to feel depressed. Guys, there's legitimate medical reasons why a person could feel depressed. Things like a thyroid issue, blood sugar levels not right. You could have a viral or a bacterial infection in your body, a disease in your body, Lyme disease, for instance, chronic fatigue, chronic pain, migraine sufferers, fibromyalgia, MS, all these things. They can cause depression. And so there are times where we definitely need to get evaluated medically and to see if we can get some help medically if that's going on. Cause number 15, poor diet and fitness. Poor diet and fitness. You're constantly consuming unhealthy foods and drinks with a lack of regular exercise, with being overweight. That can cause you to feel depressed, very depressed. Food and exercise matter big time. In many ways, we really are what we eat. You eat and drink crap, don't be surprised if you often feel like crap. If you're not regularly consuming healthy foods and drinking a ton of water to flush out all of the toxins in your body, dude, it can hurt you physically and it can hurt you mentally, and you're going to feel it. Again, I speak from experience. I've totally tried to change the way I'm eating. I'm trying to eat healthier, more organic, more fresh, living things. I'm trying to do that. I drink a ton of water. I drink usually about a gallon a day now with a lot of fresh squeezed lemon in the water. I've tried to eliminate white processed sugar and processed meats. I've tried to just get rid of a lot of stuff, but I don't do it perfectly. I slip, I fall. I have, you can call it a cheat day. I don't know if it's a cheat day or I just am weak sometimes. It was like 2 weeks ago, man. I was having a good day. I was eating healthy all day. I felt decent, so I went and did a 2-mile trail run over at the park near my house. I got done and I tanked, man. I felt horrible. All my Lyme symptoms just really hit me hard. It's called like a Herxheimer reaction. Too much for me to explain right now. So I just felt super sick, felt dizzy, stomach nauseous, had to go lay down in bed. I was really ticked off that I go from feeling pretty decent and then that happens after a trail run. Felt good during the trail run. So after I laid down for a little bit, it passed. That's the good thing. It doesn't last all that long. It hits and then it goes. And then I got up. I had to run to Walmart because I was out of Epsom salt because I need to take like an Epsom salt bath like 3 times a week because it helps get the toxins out of my body as the medication is killing a lot of the bacteria that's in me with the Lyme stuff I'm dealing with. So I go and I get the Epsom salt, a few other things at Walmart. And what's right beside Walmart? Freaking McDonald's. And I'm not kidding. I have not eaten McDonald's since like 6 months with a buddy. I was actually up in New Hampshire speaking at that camp. And me and my buddy Evan and his wife Adrian, we went out and got McDonald's late at night, like at midnight. And so I haven't done it since then. But on that night, 2 weeks ago, I was just like, man, I don't even care. Ran 2 miles. I'm feeling like crap. You know what? A cheeseburger sounds good. Fries. I'm going. And I go to McDonald's. I get a classic cheeseburger, fries, and then I get a Diet Coke. Like that's really going to help at that point. You know what I'm saying? I should have just got the regular Coke and enjoyed it. And I did enjoy it in that moment. I was like, oh, yes, dude, McDonald's, this is so good. And what happened the next morning? Because my body is not used to having that junk in it, yeah, I felt like crap. It messed with me. So poor diet and no fitness, no kind of exercise, yeah, it can contribute big time to depression. Cause number 16, almost done, guys. Demonic oppression. Demonic oppression. Now, I'm not the type at all to blame Satan or demons for everything that goes wrong in our Christian lives. That's just stupid, and that's unbiblical. That's not reality. We're given way too much credit to the enemy than we should. However, there are times when the enemy can and does attack us as believers. Now, I do not believe that a true believer in Christ can be possessed by a demon because he is already possessed by the Spirit of Christ. But I do believe that a true believer in Christ can be oppressed, or another word would be victimized, or majorly influenced by the demonic. And it can happen in various ways. I've experienced this in my own life. So it is possible that depression in the life of a Christian man can be linked to the involvement of the demonic. What can often open the gate for the demonic to gain a stronghold in the life of a believer is secret habitual sin. Secret habitual sin. It can open the gate to them to really just wreak havoc in your life. The enemy has a field day with that Christian man, because that Christian man is not girded up with the full armor of God. See Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Character, integrity, righteousness, honesty, all of that, faith. Dude, it's armor. It's defensive, it protects us, and it's also offensive. Why? Because we're in a real spiritual freaking war. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle or fight or battle against just flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of darkness that are all around us. That's what it says. 1 Peter 5:8 says that the devil roams this earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Listen, if you're not armored up with the armor of God, you're easy prey. All right, last one, cause number 17. I just call this the unknown reason. Because sometimes with depression, we can't put a definite finger on the exact cause of our depression. Sometimes we're just depressed and we don't know why. I used to fret about that. I'd think things in my mind like, oh no, I'm depressed, and I really don't know why. Like, I don't know what's causing this. And that would make me more anxious and more depressed. But I don't do that anymore, because it just makes things worse. Now, what I'll do is I'll go through like the causes, possible causes of depression. Like I've just given you guys, like, let me look at these. Like, is there anything here that there's a connection, like that I'm dealing with or I'm not dealing with that could be causing or contributing to depression? But listen, guys, if I can't figure it out, then I simply now respond like this. okay, I'm depressed right now, and I don't know why, and that's okay. I've been here before, and God's got me through it, and He'll get me through this as well. This life, I have to remember, it's the only hell that I'll ever experience, because I'm saved, because God's got me. Jesus has got me. He bought me with His blood, His shed blood. So I'm blessed. And like Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, keep going. So I don't always know why I might be depressed. Sometimes I can't figure it out. And I've learned, don't freak out over that. Try to find the causes if you can. Try to deal with it. But sometimes we deal with it, we don't know why. Sometimes we're just, the way we're wired, and I believe there are certain people that are wired, we're more prone to depression. Maybe there is something in our chemistry, our biology, whatever. Okay? And we're the type that are just going to have to learn how to manage it. Like some of the great men throughout history. Abraham Lincoln, Sir Winston Churchill. I mean, all those guys I talked about in the last episode about depression. Acceptance is key to recovery. Let me say that again. Acceptance is key to recovery. I've learned to let my depression, when it hits, not all the time. Like I said, sometimes I have my bad days. But I'm learning. I'm way better at it. To let my depression, or if my anxiety is really bad, to let it come. Accept it. Like it's a wave in the ocean. I'm at the beach and a wave is coming. I'm out there floating on my boogie board. I love doing that when I'm at the beach. And here comes a wave. And I'm like, oh, dude, here comes a big one. Listen, I don't try to fight that wave. I don't try to swim away. Get away. Get away, Nemo. No. What do? I take my boogie board and I ride it out. If it's not one that I'm going to try to ride, maybe I need, it's like, whoa, that one's kind of big, or I can't catch that one, or then I float over it. I ride it out, or I float over it. So there you go, guys. Man, I really hope it helps. 17 causes, possible causes of depression. I hope that it helps give you some perspective, understanding, guidance, and also some encouragement. Listen, guys. If your depression is so bad that you are thinking suicidal, then today, you need to reach out to a trained, licensed Christian counselor or therapist. There's no shame in that. I've dealt with those kinds of thoughts, and I had to go talk to a counselor. And guess what? It helped big time. I got through it, and you can get through it too. But stop isolating. Quit dealing with that on your own. I don't care if you are a pastor or a youth pastor. So was I. So what? Also, in the weeks ahead, we're going to continue to talk about this important matter, and it's also not only important, it's very relevant. There's so many dudes dealing with it. And I definitely want to have some guys come on the podcast to talk about their personal struggle with depression and how they found hope and healing. And the first dude that I'm going to have come on is the guy that I mentioned earlier, former Spec Ops, my friend Gar. He's going to come on. If you guys that are listening have any kind of input, feedback, or questions on this topic, you can leave a comment on this episode at thegrizzpodcast.com. There's a place to hit for the comments. I read all of those. I'll get back to you. Or you can email me, jason@narrowtrail.com. If it's not something that you want shared here on the podcast publicly, then tell me that, and I won't share it. But if it's if you don't care, or if you just say, hey, you can share it, but don't say my name, then I won't. Dude, I'll respect that. Anyway, before I wrap up, this is a recent feedback that I got from one of the listeners. He commented on our Facebook page for the Grizz Podcast. His name is Jonathan, and this is what he says. Man, God continues to use this podcast. I was just reading the other day in the beginning of Mark where Jesus has an encounter with a couple of demons. And their response, they said, Son of the Most High. I thought, man, if demons respond in that way, my relationship with Jesus has to be so much more than just believing. The Holy Spirit totally led me to James, where he talks about even demons believe and they shudder. And then if your faith doesn't produce works, it's dead. Good stuff, brother. And what he's talking about is I did a episode a while back on living or dead faith, and he was telling me that he had just listened to that, and he was like, dude, oh my goodness, like I just listened to that. It impacted me, and I was just reading this in the Gospel of Mark about the demons. They even believe that Jesus, they know in Jesus, they know that he's the Son of the Most High. And so it was really cool. Hey, Jonathan, man, thank you for listening, first of all. But what the heck is that? It's a choppa. It's not a choppa. It is a choppa. Okay. The heck is going on? It's probably like Marine One taking Donald Trump over to his plane, Air Force One. Sometimes I see that here, but not usually. They don't usually come this far out. Anyway, squirrel. Guys, if you're still, let me switch gears on you. If you're still falling to internet porn, first of all, there's no judgment from the Grizz. I get it. I've been there. I understand it. Big time. You can hear that on other episodes. But I want to say to you again, you need to do something about it. And one of the best things you can do is get Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability Software installed on all of your devices, your computers, your smartphone, your iPad, tablet, whatever you've got. I have been using Covenant Eyes on my computers and my iPhone for well over 10 years now, and it helps me big time because anywhere I go on the web, I know I'm being monitored. My good friend Josh Ray, my good friend Mike Grinke, they get a weekly report of all my internet activity. You can also set up filtering with Covenant Eyes. And I want you guys to know that you can try Covenant Eyes out completely for free on all of your devices for 30 days. You just go to CovenantEyes.com and you use the promo code GRIZZIN, G-R-I-Z-Z-I-N, GRIZZIN. Now, I've been recommending Covenant Eyes for years. Even when I'm publicly speaking and I talk about sexual purity stuff, I've been recommending it for years. But this past year, I actually became an affiliate with Covenant Eyes. That means that I do receive a very modest compensation if you try it out and you use the promo code GRIZZIN. So guys, I seriously, first and foremost, I highly recommend it because I believe it will help you and I want it to help you. But I also thank you for using the promo code GRIZZIN. All right, well, that's all I got, my brothers. I'm out for this week. Oh, okay, my pop filter just fell off the mic stand. It's a total mistake. It's a total imperfection. And I'm not going to edit it out. I'm going to let that go because I don't have it all together in my life and I don't have it all together with podcasting. And that's okay. I'm going to drink my coffee. All right. My brothers, I'm out. Don't forget to keep me in your prayers for this weekend as I'm heading to Georgia. And strength and honor, man. Strength and honor. Keep on grizzing. Peace.
Been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying.